The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to welcome two-time Masters champion, 12-time PGA Tour winner, Bubba Watson to the show. Of course, husband to Angie, father to two adopted children, and author of Up and Down, Victories and Struggles in the Course of Life. Welcome to Sports Interview, Bubba.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been following your career, you know, since you actually started playing professional golf, and it must feel great, though, to get your story out there, you know, to really share what happened to you. And it probably took a lot of courage to do it in this book. What are your thoughts about finally kind of telling your story?
Yeah, it's very freeing to talk about my struggles to help me, right? And that's how we get better is instead of hold it in, or I feel we get better, we let it out. And the more I share, the more freeing it is, because you get to hear it, you get to hear where I come from and where I'm headed. You know, I want to take that next step forward and to be a better person. And so for me, it's very freeing, but it's also, it was great for me to try to help other people. If somebody else is going through something, they see that I can have the courage to talk about it and not be ashamed of it or be afraid of it. And so, yeah, it was just it was very exciting to write the book, and it was just a perfect timing to get it out there.
You know, a lot of people look at Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champion, or any player making a great living in professional sports, and say, what can honestly be all that bad? How do you answer those critics?
That's a great question. But, you know, truthfully, though, there's no matter what I do, no matter how good I am at something or good at whatever my job is, or no matter how much money I give to charity or whatever, people are still going to dislike Bubba Watson. I mean, it's just human nature. People like you, dislike you, they like you. It doesn't matter. And so nobody knows the situation I'm in. Nobody knows the money I make. They see the money I make on tour. Nobody knows the charity dollars I give. Nobody knows my family's medical history. Nobody knows truthfully what I'm doing behind the scenes. So I can't really vouch for anybody's, I can't judge anybody else, and nobody else should judge me. You know, the whole goal is to love one another and respect one another and try to help one another. And that's where I want to be. And I've always wanted to be there. You know, golfing is my job, but there's other things I really want to do in this world. And so I really don't focus on, do I deserve money? Do I not deserve money? I don't really look at anybody else and try to judge. So, yeah, I mean, when I look at critics, they're going to be critical of me no matter what I do. So I really don't even think about that.
That's true. Really good point. And, you know, most people can't relate to the highs and lows of a professional career in golf or any professional athlete's career. I mean, you know, yes, they'd give anything to live that life, but help them understand, if you will, how did things unravel for you? You know, the expectations you placed on yourself, the pressure. What was it all like, and what is it all like as it continues?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be famous or a celebrity. I grew up wanting to win golf tournaments. I grew up wanting to play baseball, basketball, whatever that sport was at that time. And it came out to be a golfer, but two-time Masters champion, that's what I dreamed of, but not the stuff that comes with it. When people get microphones in their face, you know, they say things, they have bad days, they have bad moments. You know, we get angry just like anybody else does. So just because we're athletes, we're entertainers first, right? That's what sports is about. It's about entertaining. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very tough, especially now with social media, with the things that people say or put on there, and they get to hide behind a fake name. Yeah, it's very tough. I mean, again, it goes back to that love. We all want love. We all want respect. And that's what we're searching for. We all want to just be loved. And And when social media, you can hide behind it, or you know, the media can say things that are true or untrue. You know, it's hurtful. And so, yeah, having a microphone or a camera in your face, it's very tough. I mean, it's not an easy way to live. And I'm not even close to some of these top athletes that have cameras on them all the time. And I feel for them. I mean, if I think my life is tough at some times, it's very positive, but sometimes it gets tough. There's athletes out there, celebrities out there that go through a lot more than me. So, I mean, I feel for those people. You know, but it's one of those things where when you have that microphone in your face, the world changes. Being a celebrity changes how you put that next foot forward. It makes it very difficult.
Sure. I mean, nothing really prepares somebody, you know, to once they become a celebrity or a star. You're working toward a goal that you had from the very beginning, right? But then once you get there and achieve these incredible dreams, you know, you're not really prepared for what the limelight is like, and it's not all rosy.
Right. You know, I mean, it's like any sport, like any sports team, right? You pull for your sports team and you dislike the other sports team. And so with that being said, you know, there's no guidelines. There's no celebrity guidelines. There's no help books for celebrities or an athlete. So yeah, it becomes very difficult. You know, when people start judging me off of my golf, and they're judging me as who I am as a person off of my golf, then that's definitely going to get me down fast. And that's what happened to me. I started watching the world rankings, listening to what people are saying, looking at social media. And I went down the wrong path and, I, you know, started getting a lot of doubts in my head, doubts of who I am as a person, doubts if people love me, if people like me, doubts if my wife, if I'm the right husband my wife needs, the right dad my two kids need. So yeah, I mean, you go down a dark road real fast when you start looking at all this information that's out there. Doesn't matter if it's good information or bad information, we still look at it because we're human. And so, yeah, there's no guidelines. And so you're just trying to figure out life now with a microphone and a camera around you most of the time.
And I know you reached a breaking point that you write about. I won't give that away in your book, Up and Down, Victories and Struggles in the Course of Life. But what did you do once you reached that point to kind of turn things around? What were some of the steps that you took to turn your life around?
The simple answer is share. I went to the doctor multiple times over the course of, you know, give or take 10 years, 12 years on the PGA Tour. And then finally, my lowest point, 2017, I fell to my hands and knees. And then when I finally got off my hands and knees, you know, asking the Lord to help me, you know, I went to my wife and I shared with her, and I shared her my fears. I shared her the reasons why I'm this way. I mean, she could see me losing weight. I mean, everybody around me could see me losing weight. And so it wasn't a true medical heart problem, lung problem, liver, kidney, blood. It wasn't a sickness that way. It was the mental side was eating me alive, basically. And it was making me lose weight and just, my body didn't feel good. My stomach hurt all the time. Just anxious, just anxiety, stress, just everything you can dream of, negative. That's what I dreamed up in my head. And I had to share that. And so I shared that with my wife. I shared it with my closest friends. I shared it with my team. And it freed me, just kind of like this book. Like I said, this book freed me up. And it's letting it out. Instead of trying to hold it in and trying to be a tough man, I had to let it go. I had to share it. And the only way for my relationship to be great with my wife, and that we've been married 17 years, is to share it with her everything. And I want her to share everything with me so we can work on things. And that's really what I did. I realized that I needed to let this out, and I need to let it out to the people that I truly love. And then I decided to try to help other people. So that's why I put it in the book.
And it really is about how we handle situations mentally, right? I mean, the decisions we make, you know, do I lose my temper or do I maintain self-control? You know, we are ultimately in control of our actions, right? So and our decisions. And I know it's so hard. You get so emotionally involved in something, but I guess once you started sharing, what was happening to you, then you kind of started looking at, all right, I can make better decisions on the golf course. I can control my temper. I can do this, I can do that. I get, all of us face these issues. It's not just, Bubba Watson, right? We all kind of have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do next? It's up to us. It's really in our control.
Right, 100%. And one of the things that I realized is my bad days start with less sleep. So the better I sleep, the better rest I get, the better I'm going to wake up in the morning, more energy. Obviously, try not to eat at my candy shop all the time, so I have to take out some of the sugar. And I had to look at other things in my life that were taking me to bad spots or bad energy levels. And yes, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. We have the decisions, and we can make good decisions or bad decisions or tough decisions. And yes, it's very difficult. This is not about Bubba Watson, a golfer, and his tough road. This is about everybody. We all have some issues in our life. Now, if we want to fess up and be honest about them, that's one thing. But we all know we're all going to go through some kind of issues at some point in our life that are going to be very, very difficult and very sad. And hopefully we can hug each other and move forward and help our friends move forward in their tough road.
And I know for a while there, you were almost in denial, right? When your caddy, Teddy Scott, would mention something to you like, oh, you shouldn't have, lost your temper there, or, why'd you do that? And then Ben Crane, you write about your buddy, the fellow PGA Tour player, Ben Crane, actually came up to you and sat down with you and, had a heart to heart. And it took you a while for all that to kind of, I guess, sink in.
Yes, 100%. I mean, when people come to you, again, we all deal with it differently, right? And I choose to deal with it very slowly. And so, first of all, you have to trust those men, and I look up to those men. So I really did respect them for saying something and talking to me, but I'm a slow learner. So, it really didn't hit home till later when I mean, my darkest hour, right? In 2017. And so, then you're like, you call them and say, hey, man, thank you for saying something. Sorry that it took me so long, or sorry that I go back down this road again. So yeah, it really, again, like I said earlier, it was letting the world rankings and these things happening in the golf world, like FedEx Cup, trying to make the Ryder Cup and the Olympics and different things. I was letting that dictate how I was and who I was as a person, instead of just going, okay, this is just my job is to play golf, not who I am as a person. And so, I didn't realize what they were trying to explain to me until I went to my darkest road and started coming out of it. Because yeah, they saw it. They saw me going the wrong way. And I like I said, I'm a slow learner, so I've apologized to them, and I thanked them as well. And I tried to put that in the book where these two men could see it, and I just didn't listen right away.
And isn't it great that they care so much about you and had the guts to talk to you about it? A lot of
Oh,
people wouldn't do that, right?
for sure, 100%. I was thankful that these guys do. I mean, they really do. It wasn't about anything for them. It wasn't. They weren't getting anything out of this. Ted Scott. I mean, I could have fired him, right? And so he was definitely being a man of courage and stepping up and talking to me, knowing that. I mean, if I'm that mean, I could definitely fire him on the spot, but I didn't, because I trusted him and I respected him so much that, again, like I said, it just took me a while to understand and really get what he was saying. And then it wasn't till my a few years later when I go, oh, there's the red light. There's what he's talking about. And now I'm coming out of it and trying to help other people like he helped me.
And speaking of Teddy Scott, who you have a very close relationship with, I mean, he's been your caddy for what, since 2007. I know I read you recently parted ways as far as the caddy player relationship with Teddy. What led to that decision, Bubba?
Yeah, it's 15 years. End of 2006, he joined, started carrying my bag, and man, 15 years into this relationship of friend. I mean, I would say friend now. I felt like it was time. He felt like it was time. There's so many things he wants to do. And, you know, when you look at his retirement and the way he's planned out his life, you know, he needs another great 10 years. And I told him, I said, man, go help some young kid. You're so talented that somebody's going to pick you, a great player is going to pick you up, or some young kid that needs advice like I needed when you got on my bag. So yeah, we didn't part ways. It wasn't a firing. It wasn't a quit. It wasn't, I just think it was, we knew that his leadership was needed elsewhere, and I couldn't guarantee in him a great 10 years, you know? And so I think he's been on a couple bags, and I think he's going to do great. He's going to hopefully lead somebody else to a couple Masters wins, and they'll both be writing a great book again about, you know, how great their two Masters wins were.
I mean, will you be able to connect with another caddy who understands you and your game like Teddy? I mean, you're such a creative player, so imaginative. I mean, you need a special person who really knows your game and lets you be you.
Yeah, that is a great question. Maybe if the caddies read this book, they might not want to. it's funny because, you know, I didn't know Ted Scott. Ben Crane is the one that led me to Ted Scott. And so 2006, you know, we never met each other until that day that we joined up at Boston. And so he learned me. I mean, that's the thing though, right? Like, personalities are going to mix or not mix. So you don't really say, hey, I'm hiring you full time. You give them a couple weeks so you can learn him, or he can learn you, or he might decide he's not right for me, or I'm not right for him. And so, yeah, so it doesn't, I mean, me and Teddy had to learn each other those first couple of weeks to see if we wanted to work. So I think there's a guy or girl out there that wants to loop for me and caddy for me, and hopefully we can win some tournaments, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Golf teaches us so much. Golf teaches us many life lessons, Bubba. And I'm curious if you can perhaps pinpoint a couple lessons that you learned in golf that you've carried over to life. I mean, when you think of golf, it teaches us patience. It teaches us restraint. It makes us come up with instant decision making, and it teaches us sportsmanship. What has golf taught you that carries over to life lessons?
Wow. Well, because of the book and what I've been talking about and some of my downfalls, it's definitely taught me that golf is just a job. It's just something I love to do. So I will play golf all day long with my friends at home, and I love it. And I will argue over the dollar that they owe me. and so for me, it's more about getting out there with friends. And professional golf is a little different, right? It's you're trying to beat somebody. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. And so I learned to realize that golf, at the end of the day, if I win or if I lose, it's just my job. It's just something I love to do, but it doesn't dictate who I am as a person. And so I can't let a bad round come home with me. I can't let winning a tournament come home with me. When I say that, I got to treat Angie the same way no matter what. I got to treat my kids the same way no matter what. I've got to celebrate their stuff way more than I celebrate my stuff, because that's what my goal is. My goal is to teach my kids right from wrong, and hopefully – they will teach their kids down the road better than I was able to teach them. And so golf has just taught me, it's taught me all those things that you talked about, all the patience, the integrity. I mean, it's taught us all these things. But at the end of the day, for me personally, I really realize now I can't look and I can't judge myself on where I'm at in the world rankings, where I'm at in on points list. You know, I play golf because I truly love it. And I played golf at age 6 till now because I truly love it. And that's what I have to focus on, and not about, is Bubba Watson winning or not winning? Is Bubba Watson one of the worst players or one of the best players? And that's where I had to learn that in 2017. That stuck out like a sore thumb when I was going through it.
In 2016, you didn't make the Ryder Cup team. You called Davis Love III, the Ryder Cup captain, and asked him if you could help out, and he named you one of the vice captains. And reading that chapter brought tears to my eyes, because You were just so giving, and you really, you were one of the top players in the world and still are, but you didn't make that team. And instead of sulking and being critical, you basically kind of, I don't know, it took so much courage to do that, right? I mean, how big of, how did that experience impact you?
Yeah, so 2016 Ryder Cup, I didn't make the team. I didn't get picked. I was number 7 in the world at that time. And for Davis Love to take a chance. He doesn't know how Bubba Watson's going to react when he gets up there at the event. The team doesn't need other vice captains. And so everybody was taking a chance. But again, they knew who Bubba Watson the person was, not who Bubba Watson the media or social media or the internet says. And so they embraced me. They loved that I showed up. And for me, it showed how much I truly love to help. That's what sprung into action there is that I truly enjoy helping, and I wanted to be part of the team. That was the last event my dad watched was 2010, the Ryder Cup. So the Ryder Cup means a lot more to me because that's my dad's last event he watched me play in. And but it showed me so much about helping. I really enjoy helping. Like winning the tournament would be great, but at the same time, helping 12 guys win the tournament was a dream come true. It was an honor and a privilege, and I learned more about myself that week than I would play. And if I was just playing and won, I don't think I would envision it the way I did. And so it was just a dream come true to be able to help not only the team, but also the vice captains and the captains and their
And
wives,
the
just be
right,
there.
and the players embraced you, and that gave you like a whole different kind of satisfaction and joy, right? And do you think you're better understood now by the players and the fans and the media, perhaps because of that experience on that 2016 Ryder Cup as a vice captain?
I would say yes. I mean, definitely, I had percentage points go up when it comes to who Bubba Watson is. Definitely the players. I mean, players, vice captains, everybody on that team at that week. Definitely those guys. They understand me a lot differently. I still talk to some of the guys privately about things. So definitely the team for sure. The organizations, like the PGA Tour workers, the PGA of America workers, they got to see who I am. So they understand. And that's why I'm saying that, I was letting people over the internet and social media dictate how I felt. And that was causing me a lot of anxiety and stress. And so, yes, I think the people around me definitely see me in a different light now. When I talk to those guys, they understand who Bubba Watson is a lot better, for sure.
And Bubba, fast forward to the Solheim Cup 2021, and you were there cheering on the American women. You were a huge part of that. What was that experience like for you and Angie?
That was again, it was the there's no better way to say it, but the perfect storm. I knew the captain. Obviously, I know the Solheim family. They're with they're the owners of Ping, and then the vice captains. I knew those girls as well, and there was a couple of girls on the team that I knew, but not all of them. And so, it was the perfect storm where I called Pat Hurst, the captain, and said, "Hey, is there any way I can help you?" And she said, "She said, what would you like to do?" And I said, "You're the captain. I just want to help. I don't know how I can help, but I want to help." And so she said, "I'll give you access to everything. You'll be like a an assistant kind of thing, and honorary captain." And I said, "All right." And so we went up there, and it was a dream come true again. It was helping. It was that helping feeling where I felt like I was cheering these girls on. And I'm not even saying just the USA team. I'm talking about both teams. I was at the first tee box. I told every team good luck, every team member. It wasn't about US or Europe. It was just about women's golf in general. And so it was just a, obviously I was pulling for the US a little bit more than the other team, but it was still a privilege and honor to watch some of these great girls play golf. And again, it goes back to that helping. I just felt like it was something I could do and help by being there, and then help by making sure they had waters and drinks, make sure they had their sandwiches. And I'm good at that. I'm good at making sure they have their stuff they need.
I just love it. And the women embraced you as well. So, getting back to your own game, what's your mindset now about your future on the course? Do you think about winning more majors? Do you have the confidence now that you can win more major titles, perhaps another Masters?
Yeah, I've been in the gym. I haven't played any golf because my kids have been playing soccer, and my son is 9, so he finally got to play. I let him play tackle football. So, it's been a fun sitting at home watching my kids play sports, being a part of it. Really enjoyed it. But me and my wife started training together, so we're in the gym. Picked up a little bit more muscle, so I'm looking forward to it. I'll need the energy level to be a little bit higher going forward, and that's the one thing that I noticed is I need to get some more energy level, my energy level up, my muscles up, and now with Phil Mickelson inspiring us and watching him winning on that Champions Tour, I mean, I don't see quitting anytime soon. I feel like I want to play and I want to win. My goal is to get 15 wins. I'm 3 away, so if that means regular tournaments or majors, I mean, I'm going to give it my all and try to get to that magic number of 15, and then if I do get there, then we'll have to change that goal, I guess.
I love it. And I know you said your goal is to get into the Hall of Fame, and that would be amazing. And then what about you think you would eventually play on the Champions Tour? You want to keep going?
Yes, it's funny watching Jim Furyk and Stewart Cink. I know Stewart Cink's not on the Champions Tour; he's winning on the PGA Tour, but watching his son caddy for him, watching Jim Furyk's son caddy for him, watching these different kids that I know and watch grow up caddying for their dad. Me and my son Caleb talk about it. And so the Champions Tour is definitely something on my radar, just so I can have my kids caddy for me. That'd be a dream come true, because it'd just be us out there as a family and having fun. So yeah, there's definitely, I'm trying to change the Champions Tour to 45 years old so I can get out there faster.
I love it. And let me ask you a couple more here, and then we'll wrap up. But there's so much talent and depth on the men's tour. Do you still feel like on any given day that you can go out there and beat anybody?
100%. I mean, that's the challenge. That's the goal. That's the goal is to do it. And that's why I wanted to train. I felt like there was a couple of things I was missing. The technique side of it, I don't feel like I was missing as much. I felt like I needed to have more energy. For 4 rounds of golf, a pro-am and 4 rounds of golf, I felt like I needed more stamina, cardio. I needed some more muscle just so I can compete. And so I felt like this is what I was missing, or I was kind of, coming back from 17 where I lost all the weight. Now I need to put the muscle back on. So that's where I feel like if I do that, that's one of the things I definitely can get back out there and compete at a high level like I want to do and like I've done before.
Bryson DeChambeau, watch out, right?
Well, not that big. I'm not trying to get that much.
Speaking of Bryson, what are your thoughts on that upcoming match between Bryson and Brooks Koepka and their
I
made
don't
for
even
social media feud? What do you think about all that?
right. Exactly. I think it'll be fun. I said Bryson's definitely going to be hitting it past Brooks. Brooks will be quiet, I believe. What I know of Brooks, he'll be quiet, but I think he'll probably pull it out in the end. But definitely Bryson will be chirping about how long he is compared to Brooks. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun, especially if they both start the bantering back and forth. But sometimes when people get quiet when they're focused. So hopefully they will banter back and forth and make it fun for everybody.
Well, I know you own a minor league baseball team, an ice cream shop, a car dealership. You donate a lot to the hospital there in Pensacola. And I also read that one day you may want to run for mayor. That would be fun. Bubba the politician.
Yeah, exactly. I've it's one of those things where I really enjoyed getting to know the mayor, a couple of different mayors in my local area, and respect what they do, because I mean they're again goes back to those hard decisions we all face, right? And so it would just be something because of my local ties to the town. It would just be fun, and the more I dig into it, the more I watch. I'm not saying it'll be easy, so maybe that'll be a different book I'd write after becoming mayor. But It would be something fun to do. My wife said there's no chance she's letting me run for mayor, but maybe I can change her mind in the near future.
I think you'd be great, a great mayor. Well, listen, continued success. The book is called Up and Down, Victories and Struggles in the Course of Life. Bubba, you are a joy to know. Continued success, and thanks for really sharing your story. I think it's going to help a lot of people out there.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for everything.
Take care.
The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast was brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit IBKOL.com to learn more.